One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie several... O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. Your Twitter account...
Thank you.
Okay, and... Are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Kuntz, host of this here program, and it is an honor to be with you. As always, I hope you are well. I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. It was another successful open mic on Tuesday at Sly Bar. We had to switch things up a bit. Things are changing at Sly Bar, and thus we must adapt and thrive in the new setting. So we used to have the up top stage right above the bar, and now that Sly Bar is putting in a kitchen, the government says we can't allow people to walk through there, which frankly makes sense. You don't want people dropping hairs and stuff like that when they're trying to walk through the kitchen, because the only way to get to that stage was to go through that back room and up a little tiny spiral staircase to get up there. But from what I understand, most of the comics hated it anyways. So you don't. I guess the thing is you don't have that intimacy when you're really close to your audience. You don't have the time to look at them and speak to them directly. So when you're up high like that, when you're up 7 feet tall, the audience has the opportunity to do other things. I kind of liked it. I thought it was neat because I thought it was a little different than a lot of the other open mics that I've been to and seen over the years. It was a different type of atmosphere, but alas, as I said, we will adapt and we will thrive. So now we're right on the ground there on Sly Bar, right when you walk in, right near the window. It was a little strange getting used to, but we got a lot of positive responses on it. It was a good crowd, as always, at Sly Bar. And thank them for being a sponsor of this here program in 2016. Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. You can find them, slybar.com. I don't know how they got that URL, but they did. And good for them. I can't believe there's no other Sly Bars in the world. But apparently they got special treatment. I don't know what you would call that. They somehow nailed down that URL. Slybar.com, 2061 Central Avenue. Thirsty Thursdays, they always have some $3 beers on that you can drink for, I believe it's the entire night. So get down there and see them at any time, weekend, day, nights. They always have cool events going on there. And Angelo's provides the free pizza at the open mic, stpizza.com, stpetez.com. And they're located at 536 First Avenue North. If you would like to get food from them, you should, because it is good. I've been there many drunken nights, popped into Angelo's to see what was good. So far, everything. Sometimes I forget that I eat there, and I wake up and smell my fingers in the morning, and I say, oh, I know where I was. Angelo's wasn't a sex thing, so shame on you if you thought that. That was just a fat man thing with food. I have a problem. So next open mic will be February 9th at Sly Bar. Keeping it rolling, looking to organize some independent comedy shows here in the next little bit. Check out hmbradio.com for James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast and the Dallas Cowboys podcast, which you can only hear on hmbradio.com. We're going to be doing some moving around the RSS feeds that feeds iTunes and Stitcher here probably next week. So that should be a complete mess because I have no idea what I'm doing with that. So I hope I don't screw up too bad. But we're going to be moving to a different provider for that, which should benefit us, hopefully, from what I hear. Big thanks to Jay Soderberg at Blog Talk Radio for hooking that up and helping me out. I certainly appreciate that. I appreciate him. I appreciate the help. I appreciate everything that I get here in St. Petersburg and the United States and the world, for that matter. Thank you all. So check out hmbradio.com. For more content, I don't know, we might have an HMB sides this week. I don't know. We didn't have one last week because Eugenie Bondurant was here, and she's a busy lady and had to go, but hopefully she'll be back at some point in the near future. Localtopia is February 9th, and that's at Williams Park, and I'm hosting that bad boy. So I don't know what to expect, really. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do, per se. Other than just stand there awkwardly and announce bands, I don't know what's expected of me. So I'm pretty good at just winging things, as you can see by this program that I do weekly. But it would be nice to know what the hell I'm doing. But hey, I'll figure it out, I'm sure. And I'm sure it will be adequate, as is most of the things that I do in this life so far. What else do I have to tell you? So check out keepstpetelocal.com. I'm sure they have all the events there. I think even Localtopia has its own website. There's going to be everything that makes St. Pete St. Pete, right? I mean, you got your beers. There's going to be a bunch of vendors there for that. Your food, your artisans, your goods. I mean, just everything's local here in St. Pete. It's really cool. So check out, I believe it's Localtopia.com. I can just pull that up. Let me see. Localtopia 2016, localtopia.squarespace.com. They did not make a website. They made a free one. But hey, I did my website through Squarespace as well. It is very easy to use, and I enjoy it very much. So it is Saturday, February 6th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's going to be a long day for me. I'm sure it'll be fun, though. So you got 200 vendors, you got the Arts Village, you got the Family Village, you got the St. Pete Indie Market Village, you got the Skate Village, where I guess there's going to be skateboarders, I would imagine. I hope there's no rollerbladers, though. I don't like them. Eat and Drink Local on 3rd Street. That's where all your beer trucks, your food will be. The Live Local Music on the Williams Park Bandstand, that's probably where I will be. And then there's a new second stage. Not sure if I'm going to have to be running back and forth. I'm out of shape and I could use it, so even if there is, that's not a problem. I will manage. I'm out of breath right now, as a matter of fact, from talking, so that should be fun. So check out localtopia.squarespace.com for all the info. And what else? Well, we will have on the show today, we have people that will be at Localtopia. As a matter of fact, we have Eric Richardson and Mark Fehrenbach, which are friends of mine from going way back. I've known Mark for probably 10 years now. I've known Eric almost the same amount of time. Eric was friends with Mark, and then we kind of became buds from there. And they just, in conjunction with the owner, are the brewer and head brewer and assistant brewer, I guess that's what you call them, for Cage Brewing, which is the brand new brewery that opened up here in St. Pete. It is becoming a mecca here. There's two new breweries that are opening almost simultaneously with Cage and with Pinellas Aleworks. So we will have them on the program today. So I guess through the magic of radio, we will join us back in 1 second. You won't even know we're gone, as a matter of fact. I'm going to go drink some coffee until they arrive and get amped up. So we will be right back with Cage Brewing's Mark Fehrenbach and Eric Richardson. Mark, Eric, welcome to the Homemade Broadcast. How are you guys?
Yo. I am very good. Thanks for having us.
Let me just fix this. Should have done that beforehand, but you know how I do things. So Cage Brewing just opened up. Not officially, though, right? Still got some... the official grand opening is later in the month.
Yeah, I think it's, if I remember correctly, February 26th, but it's
February
basically...
February 27th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically a soft opening right now. So the place is still kind of in shambles a bit, but, you know, we still have time.
Yeah. Well, it's not in shambles. It's just, it looks like you guys just opened, and you got to get some goofy things on the walls, maybe some neon signs. You already got cornhole boards out.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what else you need, really, after that point.
Okay, so the grand opening is going to be like an art fest, and we're going to let them put their art up and decorate like the entire place. That's the plan.
I wanted to try to apply for that. How does one do that?
Well, go to the Cage Brewing Facebook. There's a event that's the grand opening event. That's what it is. I can't remember what it's called because I'm completely unprepared and I don't pay a lot of
Welcome
attention.
Welcome to my life, buddy. That's how I do things.
But it's there.
So, was it just cagebrewing.com?
No, the Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
Oh, facebook.com/cagebrewing.
Something like that.
You're looking at me like, I have no idea. You guys should at least know something.
Oh, no. If you type Cage Brewing into Facebook, click that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The octopus.
Cool. So, you guys are doing Localtopia, too? You're going to be pouring beers out
there? Yeah, February 6th. Yeah.
I know, Eric. You guys got to really suck on these mics, too, by the way. Like, put them right up to your mouth.
Okay.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you. Mine sounds like it's really low. Low, check. Nah, it might be too loud. I think it's just these headphones. I have this amateur rig, and I also am very tech ignorant. So things just don't sound right. Like, in my headphones, I can't hear anything. I don't know if that's normal.
In the mix with...
You can hear me
through
yours, though.
Yeah,
I hear you
well mixed.
Loud and clear.
I wonder if they're plugged in.
I'm assuming you're editing this out, right?
No.
Ah.
No, no. That's not how I do things.
Well, I'll put my penis away.
It's part of the allure and the charm that I have is just see to your pants, see what happens, you know? I've known you guys for like probably 10 years, probably by now.
Should have known you 15 years, I think. Well,
has it been that long?
Probably 9th grade, right? 10th grade?
No, I don't. I feel like I didn't meet you until after, because we were friends with Adam.
Yeah.
And then I remember we ran into you guys at Denny's one time with Dave Mitchell, and nobody knew who it was. It was just like me, Josh, Mike Marlowe. So that was after high school. That was when we just had nothing better to do. We'd just go to Denny's.
Yep.
And then you were doing the same, I guess. And then we eventually just blended the two groups together.
Why not?
Essentially, because we were all going to Denny's. So, I mean, you know, why not?
Share a table.
So I think it's probably been about 10 years. Eric, so you're the head brewer of this organization,
yes,
Cage Brewing.
Somehow.
And I really like the story. I tell it all the time about how it happened because you were working at, or you both were working at Art Bar down on the beach, right?
Yeah, I think Mark probably wasn't working there at that time, though. Were you?
Yeah, not when you started brewing, though.
Okay. Yeah, so basically I was doing my home brewing at home, and I had a burner that I had, and it broke, so I asked the old owner if I could bring my stuff in and brew beer there on their burner, because I had those commercial burners and stuff, and then basically there was no curiosity or anything from the owner at that point, but when the new owner took over, I was like, hey, man, you know, I've been doing this. Is it still cool if I do this? And he was like, yeah, but he was, like, way interested in what it was, so he's like, hey, I want to try that. So when one of the batches was done, I gave it to him to try, and he was like, you know, let's do this, and I was like, okay, why not?
So then you had the rig at Art Bar. He, like, bought you stuff, right?
Yeah, he spent a lot of money on, like, the license and everything. That's why I didn't – when he told me he first wanted to do it, I was like, yeah, right, dude, this is going to cost, like, a lot of money. You don't understand how it works. But then he was like, no, I understand how it works, and he did it. And he bought, like, it was like a system to make 10-gallon batches, you know what I mean? So it wasn't, like, huge. It was basically, like, pretty homebrewy. And we were doing it in buckets, or I was doing it in buckets, so it wasn't very pro like it is now, but, you know.
And I didn't even know that, because I thought the story was, is you were like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask for forgiveness rather than permission and just do this. And then he one day came out and saw
Well, he probably didn't ask for permission to do it on the clock.
That's what it was.
Yeah, okay. Little details, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I didn't even think about that. I just was like, I can pull this off while I'm doing my line cook stuff. So while I'm making somebody some hash browns or whatever.
Yeah. So it was a little different than what I thought, but it's still kind of a cool story. So then you started getting recognition for the beer at our bar. I saw the write up in Creative Loafing when they did their tour of the city breweries.
Yeah. What happened was we had three taps, and like when we first started doing it, I was like, can I even do this? I've brewed like maybe 50 batches, but it was always different. I never did like the same thing over and over again, which is kind of what you need to do to learn how to perfect stuff. And so I was a little bit nervous about it, but we had three taps at first, and then they just liked it right away. So I was like, you know, thank God. But it was nerve wracking.
What made you like get into that? How did you find the hobby?
There used to be this place on Park Boulevard called Beer and Winemaker's Pantry, and it's not on Park Boulevard anymore, but this is like back in
1996.
Yeah, 1999, and I went there and bought a homebrew kit because I was like, that's cool, make your own beer. And I used to make these just awful, horrible beers because I didn't know what I was doing. And then like basically over the years, I got obsessed with being like, you know, why can't I make normal tasting beer? Why does it always taste weird and funky? So I was like, the process of weeding out the things that were causing off flavors and stuff. And it was just more like an obsession because I just had nothing better to do, really. And I was so into it, you know.
I remember you wanting to drink a certain style and then brewing it just to try it. Was it like a Bock or something like this back in the day?
I don't remember what it was, but I definitely had that thing where I was like, you know, it's like an open palate. So anything you can imagine, you can just do. So it was kind of like, you know, cool to like, I want to drink something that tastes exactly like this, and then just the quest of making that happen, which is totally possible.
Was it more trial and error, or was it? Did you have to actually study? I would imagine you'd have to actually study, and with the website, with internet, I mean, you can do that. I'm sure people put their recipes on, and you can fiddle with them a little bit, make your own versions, or did you just kind of do it yourself?
If it wasn't for the internet, I would have never figured it out fully. Like, I didn't know any other brewers or anything else, so it was all internet forums. I think I was on something called homebrewtalk.com back then or something when I actually figured out how to start making beers with no off flavors and stuff like that, figuring that kind of stuff out.
Then you got to, like, the YouTube community,
mm-hmm.
which you were pretty
yeah.
involved in. Yeah.
Yeah, other than brewing stuff, too, yeah.
I mean, the homebrewers on YouTube as well.
Mark, talking to the mic.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Thank you. it's a little, it usually takes people a little while to
get used to it. Yeah.
Because these are dynamics, so you have to like speak right in there. So what was the YouTube thing?
Well, basically I was like documenting my homebrewing. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And there was a whole bunch of other people doing it too. So it was actually, you know, we kind of had like a community of people, and there still is a community of people doing it. And, you know, it'd just be stuff like that. You just cam up whenever you are doing something and show everybody what you're doing, and then the other people are doing it too, and it was kind of like a big fun community. And then it actually got to a point of doing beer competitions, like doing competitions, okay, a single hop IPA. Everyone's got the same grain bill, but everyone in the competition needs to do the same IPA with the same IBU, same alcohol, same grain bill, but just pick your own hop, and everyone does a different hop. Just random stuff like that. You know,
and then
I mean?
They would forward to each other, which I thought was good palate exercise as well, essentially.
Right. Yeah, so that's, I love that kind of stuff.
So what made St. Petersburg the home of Cage Brewing? What was it about the area that drew you here? Because you were on the beach. I mean, so you were close, but what made downtown the place to be?
I think Bob, the owner, just wanted to go to St. Pete. I actually wanted to go to Seminole because I was like, there's not a brewery in Seminole. You know what I mean? So I was like, that's an untapped resource. But, you know, he picked the building, and he, of course, picked the building right across from Pinellas Ale Works. So I went over there, and I was like, guys, I didn't want to be in this building. Just like, you know, this wasn't my idea. And they were cool with it. They were totally cool. But
I actually think it might be a good thing, though, because you can share these people. Green Bench is right down the road. Cycles 10 blocks down the road.
Three Daughters, two blocks, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it can become like a hub where people just kind of hop around, you know, do a weekend thing or even, you know, weekday thing. Even you're close enough where you can go check out a few breweries in a couple hours and get a beer. I have a theory that these breweries might save the Rays keeping them here because during baseball season people will come from Tampa, oh, we can check out these breweries and catch a Rays game or vice versa. I think it could be a symbiotic type of relationship that they have.
Hmm. Yeah.
That would be awesome. I hope that happens, because that would suck if they left.
Yeah, being right there. Yeah. Although, I have mixed emotions about it, because that stadium does kind of stink. But it's kind of nice, too. I don't mind it, but apparently it's one of the worst in baseball, from what everybody says. I haven't really seen any other stadiums, so I don't...
Yeah, me either. No basis for comparison.
Yeah, the Rays game is the only baseball game I've ever been to.
Yeah. So, Mark, you are the assistant brewer helping Eric out. What is the day-to-day like? Because I know both of you guys, and I'm sure it's absurd and it is work, but I can also imagine that you guys have a lot of fun during the day.
Yeah, we show up, make coffee, ride our bikes to Taco Bus. we've been trying to branch out. Went to the Berg today.
Sometimes we go to the Berg.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
that's about it.
That's about it. We clean stuff.
So, but, I mean, what's the process like? So you do that, you get something to eat, and then when you actually start your work, like, what goes into that? What's there? If you're brewing a new batch.
Yeah, so we're loading up a shitload of grain. Excuse me. hundreds of pounds of grain. We're taking it upstairs on top of the brew house, getting ready while the mash tun's filling up with hot water. It takes about an hour.
What is the mash tun?
The mash tun is a vessel in which we steep grain to remove, steeping, to extract sugars. Yeah,
like pushing
like
it down,
tea.
Like making tea. Okay.
Yep. And so, yeah, we're loading up, lifting up tons of grain up the stairs.
It's a bit physical at
points.
Yeah,
it's a little physical.
You
got to
lift,
points,
like,
yeah.
10 55-pound bags and walk upstairs with them and stuff. It's a little not that cool, you know.
So how long does that take, to like, step by step? So, I mean, you do that, and it takes, what, an hour? How much
time? Well, anyway, we're only able to fill the mash tun at 5 gallons a minute, I think, right now. So it's, like, takes about an hour. Then we mash for an hour, generally. That varies depending on the recipe.
So, like, if you have, like, a regular beer, like a pale ale, it's usually, like, a 60-minute mash because of the way the sugars are broken down. But if you want to get, like, a really lighter beer, you would do, like, a 90-minute mash at a lower temperature because the way the sugars are broke down, it makes them more fermentable. So in the end, you're left with less sugar.
Residual, yeah.
So that's what makes it, you know. So it really depends, but usually it generally takes about 7.5-8 hours for a regular beer, or for one of the lighter beers it'd be like 9 hours. So
have you guys tapped into the, I think there's a school, I think it's USF, maybe it's Eckerd, that they're doing a program.
USF,
it is USF. You guys know about this?
Yep.
Have you tapped into that and got some free labor yet?
The yeast thing?
Well, no, like, they're doing a course. Yeah,
it's like
brewing sciences, right?
Brewing science, right? I'm pretty sure you can get a degree in it.
Yeah,
I didn't even know
I looked into it. It was like, you know, way over our pay grade as far as, like, looking into doing that. So, essentially, I'm getting that here at Cage Brewing with Eric, you know. But
Yeah, but no, I don't know anything about that. And the guy that paid for all this is not me or Mark, so we don't have any.
I'm just saying it might be something to look into, because that way you can have some strapping young lad or lady. Ladies can do this, too.
Obviously, do like internships or
internship,
staging.
Right. Yeah. And then you have them carry up all this grain, so that way you don't have to do that.
I need a job, though.
That's Mark's job.
Yeah, that's my job.
So, Mark, how did you, like, did you pick Mark to be your assistant, or how did that go?
Yeah, I mean, he was saying the whole time that if we ever went big, because we talked about doing a bigger brewery, me and Bob, the owner, for, like, a really long time, and it was, like, 2 years. So I brewed at Arbar for, like, 3 years. Like, after a year, he's like, we're going to open a brewery, and then, you know, of course, I told Mark, and he was like, oh, you got to let me be your assistant. So I was like, yeah, why not? Because I worked with him at Arbar. I knew he was a good worker and stuff. So that's pretty much the main reason why I picked him, is because he was a good worker, and I knew that I could work a day with him and not be totally annoyed.
Is it one day? Is that really the only day you're working? Just the one day?
Oh, no. He works there.
Oh, yeah. I've been there
every day. Because you're serving, too. You're doing the bartending.
Yeah, but I've been there back house every day we've been busy. I don't know. Yeah, since we opened, probably almost every day.
We opened a little behind, so there's 7 barrel tanks that we serve the beer out of, and they're all, like, almost empty, and we kind of are like, okay, this is going faster than we can make beer at this point, so I don't know.
Is there room? You got plenty of room to, like, expand, too. I mean, is there any? I guess right now you're not even really thinking about it, but in the future, there's a lot of room back there.
Well, we are. We want more fermenters. It's ASAP, but we don't write the checks, essentially, and it's a matter of prioritizing what needs to be done first. Like, we need to utilize that yard, and he's got to spend money to get that up to code and things of that nature. So it's a matter of prioritizing. But yeah, I think we're pushing to get more fermenters like as soon as we can, essentially, just to be able to keep up.
We have two serving tanks being made right now, which is, did I take you in the walk-in there?
I don't think so, no. Okay. I may have gone, but I also might have been drunk.
Yeah, you went in there, and I was probably drunk too, but I think it's basically these giant kegs. They're just 200-and-something gallon giant kegs,
bright
essentially.
Tanks. Yeah.
And we have eight, and we're getting two more made. And then after that, we're talking about either getting like a really big fermenter where we do two batches, like, you know, like do a double batch and fill this double-sized one up, or get two more of those regular-sized ones that we have now. But I don't know.
Eric Richardson and Mark Fehrenbach, the brewer and head brewer and brewer assistant. Is that the titles?
Sure.
Okay, that'll work. I didn't know. From Cage Brewing, brand new right here in St. Petersburg. Mark, how did you get into the beer thing? Because you've been, it seemed like you were always a craft beer drinker. I think you were probably the first one out of the friends, you know, that were kind of getting into it. And then all of a sudden, you were like some super knowledgeable guy. I noticed you're brilliant too. You're a pretty smart dude, yeah, so you could pick things up pretty quick. But all of a sudden, you're like, "Oh yes, this is a saison from France, and it's delicious." So how
I've
did you get
a saison
into it?
From France?
You haven't? I have. No, I haven't either. I don't think.
Well, probably knowing Eric, being around him, he got me into beer at a young age. I was legal. We'll
you're
say
8 years
that, but
old.
At a young age, I remember him. Yeah, being into it, just being best friends with him really got me into it. When he was homebrewing, I was around that for most of it, I'd say. And I remember distinctly, getting into Rogue and Sierra Nevada way back in the day. Eric was having me drink, introduced me to this stuff. And then Helena, actually, living on the beach on Madeira, she brought a growler. She goes, "You're never going to believe this." It was a coffee beer, and I'd never heard of such a thing. And it was Cubano Espresso. It was when Cigar City was brand new, maybe like a couple months old. And they brought that and what was called Tropical IPA at the time. I think they rebranded it to Papaya IPA, which is now long retired. But we had those on the beach, and I remember being just blown away. And then, really got into it. I remember Eric and I, we made beer advocate profiles in like 2007 or something like this. And we would review beers, almost the bad beers. We'd review Beck's and Bud Light and Coors Light and read the reviews and laugh and stuff like this. And then Willard's Tap House. I discovered Willard's because of Helena as well, I'd say, you know, all that. And then, the rest, I just got really, really into it, I guess.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you were, like I said, just naming off these styles. And
yeah, so Friday nights I'd be sitting there doing beer reviews instead of going out partying for a long time. And then I started trading heavily. I think
I remember that, yeah.
So I started trading just to be able to try the best stuff. I'd look for the best stuff out there and then figure out how to acquire it and do so, and then really dissect it and get into it a lot. But
so what's been the boom? I mean, there's been a boom the past 10 years of these things. What do you guys attribute the boom to?
Man,
do you know what I mean by the boom?
Yeah, renaissance, or okay. What is it? Yeah.
Man, I really don't know, but I think it's just like a lot of people didn't really know that there was other kind of beers out there that had like way more flavor and stuff like that, and you know, I think sometimes people might try a beer that's like, say, your average Bud Light drinker is going to drink an IPA and just be like, "This is the worst thing I've ever had in my life."
My father is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. I try and try and try, and every time I give him a beer, he's like, "This tastes like Windex."
So, and then I think a lot of people didn't realize that there are more approachable styles in the realm of what's ever considered craft beer. Like, you know, obviously you can go get like a light wheat beer or like what you were talking about, a Kolsch or something like that. And I think once they realize that, then they are like, "Hey, wait a minute." So that's why I think it's important that to have something for those kind of people too. Like, don't be the snobby brewery that doesn't have any like beers for the people that like, you know, no flavor beers or something too. Yeah. You know, have one on that they can drink.
Do you guys do any Bud Light or Miller Light at your spot, or is it just Cage beers?
No, it's just Cage beers, and there's like a couple ciders.
Got ciders, yeah, and Mother Kombucha now, as of yesterday. Yeah, nice. I'm really excited about that, actually.
That stuff scares me.
It keeps you regular.
I know, but anything that you have to put extra in your body, because you have these things, the probiotics in your body anyways, and you're adding more, something about that just seems odd.
Have your gut bacteria, you know, there's certain things your diet will reinforce certain gut bacterias. So, for instance, eating McDonald's every day will reinforce the bacteria that will I understand, create cravings for that type of food.
Really?
Correct, yeah. So you're reinforcing the positive bacteria, I think, is
part
of it.
Yeah, but you're just jamming more in, though. You have it in you, right? You're just jamming more of that
stuff. Well, there's aminos and vitamin B and antioxidants as well. And they're mixing it with fruit juice, I think, so you get those benefits as well.
I had a sample of it, and it was pretty good, but it also freaked me out that knowing that there was little animals
sea
in
monkeys.
There. Yeah, that I was just putting in my body.
Same kind as it's in yogurt, right?
The Activia, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well, like Acidophilus, I think you think. Well, Lactobacillus is in yogurt, I think.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I don't know.
And that's that's how you make sour beers, right?
Well, some, yeah. That's what we're going to be doing, Berliners with lacto specifically, yeah. But you can do, there's more than one way to skin a sour beer.
Yeah, I've noticed that. So do you guys have a specialty that you're going to be working on? It seems like there's so many different things now. Like, how much more can you get to as far as style goes? And because, I mean, there's only a certain amount of styles. You just could put variations on the styles, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess we're kind of specialized in hoppy beers right now. But we also, like I was saying, also have like a really light wheat beer for the people that maybe don't want to have some intense in-your-face hoppy beer. And then we also have a couple dark beers. We have a porter and a brown ale, so stuff like that.
I think Eric's porter is almost your bread and butter, maybe, and maybe your cream ale. You know, so our hoppy beers have been the shining...
Nice. Yeah. The shining star of the, what do you call it, the lineup.
There we go. Yeah.
I mean, people just want to drink hoppy beers. You know,
yeah, the most seems best-selling to be, hill ales. Yeah.
Generally.
And it seems like it's been that way for a long time, but sours seem to be picking up, too.
Yeah, definitely. Working at Willard's, I'd say 3 years ago, we could get a sour on tap and mostly get scoffed at. People would ask for a sample to give to their friend to prank them, to laugh about how bad it was. Now we roll with, like, we can have six sours on tap, and I find myself traveling far and wide to achieve or to...
I remember at Willard's many years ago, I think somebody brought in a sour from Asheville, and I happened to be there, and somebody poured me a little tiny thing of it, and I'd never heard of it before, so I took a sip, and it tasted like having a sour stomach and burping in the back of your throat.
So that's like, yeah, butyric acid, perhaps,
It was, I would like to try that now to see if I, because I've gotten to like sours over time, but it takes some time for your palate to kind of get there. But yeah, it was miserable. And now
absolutely
it
acquired,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's got to take some time. That's why I'd like to try it now. So what kind of styles are you guys, would you say, you're going to be working on predominantly? Or are you? Is there anything special?
I was trying to. Well, we have like 16 taps to work with. Right now we have 8 serving tanks. So it's probably like, you know, a few hoppy beers, 2 dark beers.
We're trying to be approachable. Yeah.
Trying to be approachable and like we're even. We get a lot of things where people are like, hey, my wife hates IPAs, but she likes your IPA. So that's cool. And like weird stuff like that. So we're trying to make it to where it's not. I don't know how to explain it. Where it's not so. Aggressive.
To cater to the beer nerds, but also to the not beer nerds, I guess.
So finding the happy medium.
So Eric does a lot of the what are considered generic styles, but what I find I have so much confidence in him is he nails the generic styles, in my opinion, and does them differently than everybody else. We're kind of doing them how we would want to drink them. So everybody has a brown ale or an amber of this, but we're doing them our little take on them and how we would want to enjoy that particular style.
Have you guys found that maybe you, is there anybody that you emulate in their styles of making, like it inspires you to do something similar, or just like if you
We've been inspired by
probably every great brewery I've ever had. It was inspiring, you know.
So nothing in particular though.
I can't think of anything at the moment, but I mean, God, yeah, many breweries. I think a long time ago, I was actually back in, like, the 90s, I used to, like, maybe, like, 99, I used to actually love Dunedin Brewery. They used to have, like, Beach Tail Brown Ale and all these beers. And
were they the first ones?
Oh, yeah, like, around Dunedin? Here.
Yeah?
Yeah,
Cigar City before them?
Or? No, Cigar City's, like, 6 years old. Dunedin's, like, 20.
Oh, really?
Right? Something like this.
Yeah, so I'm
something
old.
Something like that.
I'm 41, so when I was into beer back in the 90s and stuff. So I used to like, I'd probably say Sierra Nevada was like a huge inspiration with their porter back then. I used to love it. And then Dunedin Brewery. Those are the people that
I remember
made
you drinking
like,
Samuel Smith's and Double Grimbergen's.
Right.
Yeah, and that.
Yeah, those are the people that made me into beer. So I guess they're inspiration, but I don't know, man. There's so many people that make awesome hoppy beers that I don't know.
Who's your favorite local beer, like in the Tampa Bay area?
I got to say Cycle and Angry Chair. And I love Pegs, man. That's my family, you know, yeah, there.
Yeah, I'd say Cycle makes probably the best hoppy beers. Personal opinion. I don't know. Everybody, all the breweries around here have something that I think is awesome, though. You know what I mean? Like, I go into Green Bench, I drink the Happy Hermit. I go into Sandy Brewing, I drink his Pale Ale. I go into
St. Pete Free Wheel.
Or Pinellas Ale Works, that's across the street from us. They have a lot of awesome stuff.
I love the Mars in there. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was good.
Are they officially open now, too?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the moment, and I think that's going to change fairly soon, but yeah.
So they're, like, literally catty corner to where you guys are at.
Oh, yeah.
I like it, though. I don't think it's going to be a big issue for you guys, because I think people are going to come and tour.
We witnessed the back and forth. Everybody's checking us both out, which is perfectly, you know, exactly what we wanted.
I predict an imminent, horrifying car accident out front.
Yeah, we're worried about
drunk,
that.
Drunk
yeah,
people like, walking across First Ave.
Yeah, and they're putting a food truck in between us on the blank corner, which is awesome. But then, crossing streets, 20th Street, people get airborne on that freaking
You got to get one of those lighted, not that it's going to do anything, someone's still going to die, but one of those lighted crosswalks diagonally that leads right to
in between us.
Yeah. So it takes super long across.
You should get a trolley.
Oh, bridge. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like at Busch Gardens, though.
Tell Bob. Be like, hey, man, we need this for safety.
One of those, like, spiraling up and go bridge across. Takes 10 minutes to cross the street.
Yeah, also, more like a cable car.
Like a Skyride?
Skyride. Or you just Skylift, like Busch Gardens.
Like they do in the Amazon, where they put you up on that thing, and then they just hang you down.
Wooden
and you just
bucket. Oh, and a barrel. Yeah.
No, you just hang from a harness. And then
rope.
You get pushed down, and you just swing. And go to
like gravity
brewery.
Do the work.
It's kind of like zip lining.
It's the exact same. Yeah, it'd be awesome. Have you guys ever done that?
No, but I hear it's boring, according to South Park.
I don't know. It looks really fun.
It looks fun to me.
Yeah, I'd do it.
In a second. So, Eric, you also play in a band, and you have a new band, Low Season, that I just heard the first song called Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that was released?
Yeah. Well, we have two other songs out. Before that, and I don't know. Yeah, it's hilarious. We used to come out to our other band shows all the time, Warrior Brothers.
Warrior Brothers, I love the Warrior Brothers.
I saw you at Sake Bomb a couple times.
I used to, whenever I saw you guys play, actually one of my favorite songs is a Warrior Brothers song, Be Kind to Animals, Don't Eat Them. And the only one I can find is a live, I think that's what it's called. It might not be called that. But there's only one video, and it's from Tampa.
The punk house.
And it's live, and it's awesome. I still play. It's on my YouTube playlist of my songs.
So that band, you probably didn't know this, but every song was named after a bumper sticker. So Be Kind to Animals, Don't Eat Them, This Is Not an Abandoned Vehicle. You know, it was all stuff like that. Every song was named after a bumper sticker. I don't know why.
Well, it's easy. You don't have to think of anything. Mm. You know, bumper stickers can be inspirational or thought-provoking sometimes. So
come any closer and I'll fart, you know, stuff like that.
Boom. Horns broke. Watch for finger.
Yeah.
So you're with Andy Fields plays with you in that band, and he was in Warrior Brothers with
Party
you.
Fields.
Yeah.
So who is it a completely new lineup besides Andy? Or?
Well, so I've been playing in bands with Andy Fields since, like, 2000. Or something like that. So
maybe it's a month.
It'll always be like, I don't want to play anymore. I don't care about playing anymore. And then Andy will be like, dude, I found this guy that wants to play drums or something. I'm like, I don't really want to do it. And he's like, okay, then we have to do it. And that's just been going on the whole time. So we've been going through bands. But it always doesn't work out. Like, it's always like something with the drummer or something. Or something with the, like, we had this one drummer back in the old days, back in 2000 or something. And he would just go outside and do drugs, and then you come outside and you're like, what happened to Phil? And he's laying on the ground or something, and you're like, oh, I guess we can't practice tonight.
And constantly speeding up every song.
but yeah, so this band's not like that. So we have two guys from, you ever hear Fowler's Bluff?
It sounds familiar.
So it's a local band, and it's two of the guys from that band. So it's me and Andy, and then their drummer and their bass player, but their bass player sings also in Fowler's Bluff, so he just is just a singer in this band.
So what kind of style of music is it? I mean, I know. But.
They call it punk, but I call it more like, I don't know, rock, alternative rock or something. I don't know.
Is speed punk a genre? That's what the Trump one sounded like.
Would that be hardcore?
I don't know. I think the Trump one reminds me of like old Suicidal Tendencies, which to me is just like old school punk or something. But I think the speed punk would be called what was called like, used to be called new school punk, but I think now they just call it like 90s punk or something. But so I don't think we're any of that. We're just more like rock. I don't know. They call it punk, but I call it like rock, alternative rock. Alternative rock sounds so lame. I don't know. I hate trying to categorize it.
Is Low Season a political band, like the Trump thing, or was that kind of just like just for fun?
It was just for fun.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not political at all. It's more artistic. The guy sings about like personal stuff and stuff like that.
I find myself defending Trump constantly to people.
I'm not quite the alpha.
I'm not a Trump fan. I'm not a Trump fan, but I can't stand the... I just... Be fair is my thing. And there's just like, oh, he wants to kick Muslims out. No, he doesn't. That's not what he said. He says he doesn't want to let any more in. That's fair. But he doesn't want to kick all of them out.
I find it entertaining.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah,
it's very entertaining.
I actually played a clip of him from the newest, or the debate. I think it was the first one where Megyn Kelly came out and was like, You have called women pigs, and
only Rosie O'Donnell.
I love that. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Hilarious.
And he says too at the end of the clip, he's like waiting for the applause and says, "Thank you." Like a comic ending is set. I love it so much.
Simply amazing.
But I've never seen the vitriol out of people from a candidate. I don't think ever. People hate him, and I love how much people hate him. So I find myself like. I'm not going to vote for him, but I just like to push people's buttons and talk about him.
Sure.
I've actually never voted, ever, so, you know.
You've never voted? Why?
I also don't watch the news or any politics. I'm just alive. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you're probably better off for the most part. You probably should vote.
I get told that a lot.
Yeah. I mean...
The popular vote doesn't matter in Florida. The Electoral College doesn't have to vote.
I understand.
Along with the popular vote in Florida, right? Is that true?
Well, it just goes by the electoral. Whoever
so as far
wins,
as presidential candidate, I don't believe your vote really actually matters in Florida other than a statement.
It doesn't matter anywhere because it's all electoral college.
13 anyway. States have to vote along with the popular vote, I believe.
Really?
Yes. The electoral college has to vote along with
the popular vote. Oh, we should all be doing that.
It's like New Mexico, Arizona, a couple of, and I don't know the rest, I'll be honest.
Oh.
But not Florida. I know that. Yeah.
So that probably change at some point in the near future. If it was popular vote, would you vote? Or probably still no.
I don't know. I mean, you don't want me voting. Trust me.
Is it a lazy thing, or is it just like I don't believe in this, or just like I don't want to because I have to do something in order to do it?
I think I just don't know anything about politics or anything about the world in general, so I just feel like I have no business voting at all. You know.
I understand, but it's not too hard to get informed a little bit either and just do it. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters at all, but my dad put it in the perspective for me. He says, even if it doesn't matter, what if it does?
True.
So you might as well go ahead.
I voted for marijuana. That got
me
off
back
my ass.
On the ballot.
Yeah, that was my first Huawei.
It's going to pass this year, too.
See, I didn't even vote for that. I mean, you know.
just wasn't interested. You guys want to hang out for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay. So let's do the social media and all that and where to find you and, you know, Cage Brewing, Low Season, all that, Eric.
Okay. So first of all, the Instagram is Cage Brewing. Facebook, just type in Cage Brewing. You'll find it.
It's on there.
And I think that's all we have for social media.
No Twitter, none of that?
We have no Twitter yet. We don't have a website or anything. So we're
Squarespace, man. I'm telling you, that's how I did mine. It's great.
We're poorly unorganized.
All right, so home_made_man is my Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/HMB Radio. Facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. HMBRadio.com. Mark, you want to plug your Instagram, or do you care?
No.
Okay. All right, so we're going to stick around for the HMB sites. Extra content heard only on HMBRadio.com. For Radio St. Pete, Will Kuntz, Homemade Broadcast, signing off. See you next week.
Love ya.
Cheers!